WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. The explosion and fire at a Gaithersburg condo complex on Wednesday was caused by a man who died by suicide, according to Montgomery County Police. Chief Marcus Jones says there's no indication that 36-year-old Juan Quizon was trying to hurt anyone else.
It is a criminal investigation for the fact that if Mr. Quizon was still with us, still living, that he would have been criminally culpable.
Because several people were hurt and buildings destroyed, this morning some residents will be escorted back to the complex to get their things. Then investigators will hand control of the building back to property management. Very troubling. That's how Vice President Mike Pence, or former Vice President Mike Pence, refers to the appointment of Jack Smith as special counsel for two probes into former President Trump. Fox's Barry Guard Martin.
Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed former Justice Department official Jack Smith to oversee the investigations into presidential records held at Trump's Mar-a-Lago home and the probe into the January 6th Capitol riot. Pence pointed to what he terms years of politicization at the Justice Department. Pence also criticized the timing of the appointment. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
It came just days after Mr. Trump declared his candidacy in the 2024 presidential election. Mr. Trump calls the move, quote, the worst politicization of justice in our country. More than 2 weeks after Election Day, a winner is declared in the tight race for Frederick County Executive. County Council member Jessica Fitzwater beat State Senator Michael Howe by 989 votes in unofficial results from the Montgomery County, or Maryland, Board of Elections, rather. In a Facebook post, Fitzwater thanked Howe for what she calls his respect for the ballot counting process and his service to the country and state. Howe says it's been a tremendous honor to represent the county for the last 12 years in the General Assembly. Upstate New Yorkers are used to digging out of lots of snow, but not this much. Western and northern New York State are seeing historic levels of snow this week. Erie County Emergency Services Commissioner Danny Neverth.
I have roughly 5.5, almost 6 feet of snow up where I live. I do live up in the hills and what's traditionally the ski country.
At least two people are believed to have died from cardiac issues while shoveling. This single storm's dumping far more snow on Buffalo than we'll be getting all winter, according to 7 News meteorologist Bill Kelly. The 7 News First Alert weather team released its winter weather outlook.
We are thinking anywhere between the 9 to 15 inch range up and down the 95 corridor, 5 to 9 inches for far southern Maryland, maybe a slight below average for some spots.
The average seasonal snowfall for D.C. is 13.7 inches. WMAL Sports, the Wizards beat the undermanned Heat 107-106, and tonight the Caps play the Avalanche. Traffic and weather next on News Talk 105.9 WMAL. Traffic and weather on News Talk 105.9 WMAL. Here's LBD in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Virginia, on the outer loop of the Beltway McLean, there is a crash. Two center lanes are locked approaching Georgetown Pike. On the inner loop of the Beltway in Virginia, no delays there. 66 is clear in both directions. 95 in Virginia, you're not tapping the brakes between the Beltway and Fredericksburg. On the VW Parkway southbound in Laurel, traffic is slow between 198 and the Patuxent River Bridge. And on the Maryland side of the Beltway, I looked at the cameras, inner loop and outer loop, no delays in Prince George's County or in Montgomery County. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Sunshine with temperatures only reaching the 40s. Overnight, clear and cold, dropping down to the 20s. Winds upwards of 20 miles per hour. A cold and blustery day tomorrow with lots of sunshine. 35 to 40 degrees. Wind chill factors in the teens and 20s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Steve Rudin, the First Alert Weather Center.
Right now, 33 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Now,
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL,
the Saturday morning update.
The Saturday morning update continues. It is hour two. I'm Rick Fowler, and John Gizzi is with us. He is the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And what a week, John.
That was the week that was.
And we'll go on and on and on into 2024. Let's start with Tuesday. The former president, twice impeached, now under an investigation by a special counsel, announces he is running for president. What struck you about his announcement, and what strikes you about his candidacy?
What struck me about the announcement was that Donald Trump, who famously came down the escalator at the Trump Towers when he announced for 2016, is now a rebranded Floridian who announced from his Mar-a-Lago estate, surrounded by supporters. It shows that there have been changes with Donald Trump, but for the most part, the message is the same. Remember, he was the first candidate for president who had held neither elective nor appointive office to be nominated by Republicans. To many who did not know a lot about him and later learned, he was something fresh and different. Now, of course, he served a term as president. He's been etched in the memories of everyone. And he's coming back in a Republican Party where Trumpism has caught on, but many Republicans do not necessarily want Donald Trump. At least four other Republicans apparently are going to run for the nomination, regardless of what the former president does. He was certainly embarrassed when many of the candidates that he backed lost the midterm elections a week before his announcement. And polls in Iowa and New Hampshire show him trailing the anti-Trump, for lack of a better term, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. So overall, it's Donald Trump again, but the package and the brand are out there and known.
So as the week progresses, the Republicans finally take over the House of Representatives, which means leadership votes. And let's get to the Republican leadership, and then we'll get to the Democratic leadership. So Kevin McCarthy gets past the first hurdle, but what can happen next in terms of the House Speaker becoming a Republican?
Well, Kevin McCarthy was nominated by the full conference to be Speaker designate. In other words, he will stand on the full House floor on January 3rd, and if he gets what's called the magic 218, a majority of the House of Representatives, he's Speaker. The problem for McCarthy is that within the Republican conference, there are those, particularly with the Right of Center Freedom Caucus, who do not think he's aggressive enough. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona challenged him and got 31 votes. When you're talking about a House that is the most closely divided since 1930, an anticipated 219 Republicans to 216 Democrats, a Speaker designate or Speaker candidate cannot afford to lose one or two votes. He's got to get everyone. Now, Andy Biggs repeated on Friday that he would never back Kevin McCarthy, that he wants things from him. Most likely, he's not going to stand with that because that raises the specter of a Democratic speaker. If enough Republicans back away from McCarthy, who knows who could become speaker? And remember, one doesn't have to be a member of the House of Representatives to become speaker. So I would expect the gentleman from California will meet with Biggs, Jim Jordan, and others who have a problem with him and try to resolve it.
So for quick clarity, what you're saying is if the Democrats stuck together and the Republicans split the vote for the Speaker of the House, we could have a Democratic Speaker of the House.
Exactly. And remember something. Several Democrats who ran in more Trumpian districts promised that they would not vote for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker. I know that at least one Democrat in Pennsylvania made that promise and was reelected. Well, Nancy Pelosi's gone. Hakeem Jeffries of New York is likely to be the leader. To the general public, he's unknown. To members, he's non-controversial. And yes, he could easily become Speaker even with a minority of Democrats in the House.
Well, let's turn to Speaker Pelosi, who has announced that she is stepping down as Speaker, but so far she plans to stay on in the Congress. And your reflections on Speaker Pelosi?
Well, I have covered Nancy Pelosi going back to when she first arrived in Congress. Remember, this is someone who first visited the House of Representatives at the age of six when Franklin Roosevelt was president, and her father was congressman from Maryland, Tom D'Alessandro, later the Democratic mayor of Baltimore. She met John F. Kennedy when he spoke at her Catholic girls' school in the late 1950s. She was Democratic state chairman of California, and in 1987 came to the House of Representatives following the death of the late Congresswoman Sala Burton, who designated Pelosi her successor by pointing at her from her hospital bed. Quite a background to have. She became the minority leader of the House in 2002, the first woman to hold a leadership position in either party. What was often said in Congress on both sides of the aisle was, don't get in a backroom fight with Nancy Pelosi, because she brings a knife to it. And indeed, members who voted with her were rewarded. Members who didn't toe the party line could find themselves in uncomfortable offices, unwanted committee assignments, and political purgatory. One thing I will have to say about the speaker, she was always accessible to reporters. At her press conferences, she'd call on people regardless of where she knew their outlets were coming from. I remember her at a Christian Science Monitor press breakfast when I asked her about the fairness doctrine requiring equal time on radio and how the then Congressman Mike Pence wanted to ban it altogether. She said there wasn't room on the agenda for it, Pelosi being Speaker of the House, but she said sentiment in our conference was quite in the opposite direction. They want to put the fairness doctrine into law. And I said, and you favor that? She said, yes, I do. Well, that gave me 2 days of fame, thanks to the speaker. And any article on the fairness doctrine has our exchange. She was a pivotal player in the enactment of the Affordable Care Act and other things that came out of the Obama administration. She knew how to turn out the votes. In the end, she finally went out at a high point, having been the second longest-serving speaker in history, and I might add, at 81, the oldest person to wield the gavel. Whatever one thinks of her, whatever the views and her ideology, Nancy Pelosi was a woman of consequence and will not be forgotten.
We mentioned former President Trump would be running during an investigation by a special counsel. Put that in a historic perspective in terms of special counsels and presidents.
Special counsels, going back to the Watergate days, have full investigatory powers, unlimited expenses, and only go away either when Congress ends their mandate or they have officially turned in their report and say they are done. I well recall interviewing Lawrence Walsh, special counsel during the Iran-Contra affair, who indicted numerous figures in the Reagan and Bush administrations that were eventually pardoned by George H.W. Bush. He went on to say, had he known that, he would have indicted Bush 41 himself. All told, that cannot mean good news for Donald Trump. As he seeks to campaign, he will be deposed, no doubt. There will be calls for testimony by former associates of his. And the idea of trying to run a campaign while dealing with a special counsel is going to be something new and unique, because the special counsel, courtesy of the taxpayers, has unlimited resources. It'll be interesting to watch Jack Smith, newly appointed counsel, and Donald Trump.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, as always, thank you very much. You have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Rick, and to yours, and to all our friends in Radio Land. Don't eat too much turkey.
Cheryl Atkinson up next, but first, Al BD's in the WMAL Traffic Center at 720.
In Maryland, on the BW Parkway southbound, traffic is slow between 198 and the Patuxent River Bridge. On the Beltway, outer loop and inner loop in Montgomery County and in Prince George's County, you're not tapping the brakes. In Silver Spring and Georgia Avenue, Thanksgiving Parade is going on, and you're going to find it closed in both directions between 410 and Colesville Road until 1 o'clock. And in Virginia, on the outer loop of the Beltway, McLean, crash, two center lanes are blocked approaching Georgetown Pike. Traffic is slow from the Cabin John Parkway. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Moving through the remainder of the morning hours and into the afternoon, plenty of sunshine with temperatures only reaching the 40s, well below average for this time of year. Overnight, clear and cold, dropping down to the 20s, increasing winds upwards of 20 miles per hour. A cold and blustery day tomorrow with lots of sunshine, 35 to 40 degrees, wind chill factors in the teens and 20s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Steve Rudin, the First Alert Weather Center.
It's 29 degrees at 7:21 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Making sense of the news.
It's the Saturday morning update. Thank you for being with us. Cheryl Atkinson joins us every week. She is the host of Full Measure, and you can see the show tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock on ABC7. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
We've heard a lot about the fraud surrounding COVID with all those billions of federal dollars, taxpayer dollars, being distributed around the country. Government watchdogs looking into it, and you are looking into it tomorrow. And what do you find?
Well, we've covered so much money lost already to all kinds of scams and waste and fraud and abuse, and you can imagine they're only catching parts of it. But our cover story looks at this elaborate kickback scheme that developed during COVID, and it centers on the use of telemedicine. And it was easily exploited by scamsters and fraudsters, it turns out, in this case, to get orders for genetic testing from Medicare patients that wasn't necessary or helpful or sometimes wasn't even really done. And labs and doctors and fraudsters all enriched themselves to the tune of millions and tens of millions of dollars in these elaborate schemes that were taking place in many different states going on at the same time.
So what do you find in terms of holding people accountable? I mean, do they just get away with it, or do you see prosecutions potentially happening?
They do prosecute. Again, I think they only catch a small fraction of the actual fraud that's going on, but they do prosecute these folks. They get some of the money back. A lot of times they don't get all of it because it's gone, but they certainly try to get back some of the millions that we've been cheated out of. And then I would say a lot of times when I see these cases, these sentences that people get when they're caught doing large amounts of fraud are pretty short term. In fact, some of the people who get sentenced to prison, this is not their first offense for some kind of medical fraud, cheating Medicare or the government out of money. They've done this over and over again over the years. So it's kind of interesting. It's not a violent crime. So I guess some people would argue these people shouldn't have to stay in prison for long periods of time, but and again, if the risk is not too great and the punishment isn't too bad if they get caught, why would they stop trying to do it next time?
We often see and hear generic stories about human rights violations by the Chinese, but you typically don't see a face put with those stories. But you actually traveled to London to meet up with an activist who had survived the Chinese officials. Tell us about that.
He's a young man named Simon Cheng. He's been through so much for a young man his age. He was working for the British government in Hong Kong a couple of years ago when he got yanked off the streets in Hong Kong without even knowing what was going on by Chinese officers who then put him in prison, and nobody knew where he was, that he just disappeared off the face of the planet, and they tortured him for days. And he says he didn't know why he was in there, although he came to conclude, based on their questions, that he had been picked up because he was a pro-freedom activist in addition to working for the British government there in Hong Kong. But one reason I think his story is so important, so you'll hear him talk about it, it's pretty remarkable, but in the big picture, it's significant because he says this treatment of some Hong Kong people at the hands of the Chinese is what Taiwan can look forward to in the near future, unfortunately, because it's widely expected that China will begin cracking down harder on the pro-independence and pro-freedom movements in Taiwan as well. Quite a story.
We've heard a lot about schools in the big cities. We've heard a lot about the test scores in the wake of COVID. And you have a story on a very interesting partnership that affects the Baltimore City Schools.
Yeah, you know, this was quite unexpected. There is a civil rights attorney some people have heard of, an African-American named Ben Crump. He has been part of going after police or governments where there have been these high-profile killings or harms of some blacks like Trayvon Martin. He's been fairly successful in his lawsuit. So he's known as coming kind of from the left civil rights kind of, you know, groups and movements. But he's partnering in this unusual lawsuit with people on the conservative side of things in Baltimore who are suing the city schools for their failed, horribly failed school system there. I mean, Baltimore schools, it turns out, they get some of the most money per pupil to give good education to the public school students and consistently fail. They have horrible graduation rates, horrible literacy rates. And I think one of the last straws for a lot of people was the grade-changing scandal. I think probably a lot of your listeners heard about this, but teachers got caught changing thousands of grades of students to passing or good grades when some of them hadn't even been attending school, I guess to make the stats look good. And this story was actually broken by Chris Pabst, our investigative reporter of our Sinclair affiliate in Baltimore. It was followed up by an inspector general investigation that confirmed just how widespread this grade-changing scandal was. So how did Ben Crump, the civil rights activist, get linked up with the conservative parents and groups who say this has to stop? Well, he started hearing about not just in Baltimore, but big cities across the nation where education is failing, particularly African-American students, despite all of the money spent. And he just said, this has to stop. So they're basically asking through the court system for Baltimore, the city council, the school system to be held accountable and to have to make some kind of promise to change things in a meaningful way rather than just putting good money after bad for this failed school system.
It's tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock, full measure. Cheryl, thank you very much as always.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
And you too. 7:27, Saturday morning update. 7:30 news coming up. Then we are back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. A Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. Former President Trump responding to the Justice Department's appointment of Jack Smith as special counsel to investigate his involvement in the attack on the Capitol and the classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago.
Over the years, I've given millions and millions of pages of documents, tax returns and everything else, and they have found nothing, which means I've proven to be one of the most honest and innocent people ever in our country.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says it's in the public interest to appoint a special counsel based on Mr. Trump's declaration of his candidacy in the 2024 presidential election and President Biden's intention to also run. A revelation in the search for answers into what caused an apartment building in Gaithersburg to explode and go up in flames on Wednesday. It was somehow caused when resident 36-year-old Juan Kizan took his own life. Montgomery County Police Chief Marcus Jones says they spoke to people close to Kizan.
And we know for a fact that he made statements that were indicative of intentions of suicide.
Jones says police found a suicide note. There's no evidence Kizan wanted to hurt anyone else, according to Jones. We now know who will serve as Frederick County's next executive. Unofficial final results from the Maryland Board of Elections have County Councilmember Jessica Fitzwater beating State Senator Michael Howe by 989 votes. In a Facebook post, Fitzwater thanked Howe for what she calls his respect for the ballot counting process and his service to the county. Up next, traffic and weather on News Talk 105.9. WMAL. Traffic and weather on News Talk 105.9 WMAL. Here's LBD in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Virginia, on the outer loop of the Beltway, there is a crash. Two center lanes are blocked in McLean approaching Georgetown Pike. Traffic is jammed from the Cabot John Parkway. On 66 in Fairfax County, no crashes or construction eastbound or westbound. on 95 in Virginia from the Beltway to Fredericksburg. You're not tapping the brakes on the northbound side or on the southbound side. And in Montgomery County, Georgia Avenue was shut down between 410 and Colesville Road for a Thanksgiving parade, and that's going to stay closed until 1 o'clock. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Today, sunny, high temps in the 40s. Tonight, clear and cold, lows in the 20s. Winds upwards of 20 miles an hour. Right now, 33 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Monday, it's Thanksgiving week, and Joe DeGeneva, he's got to beat on all the turkeys in this town. O'Connor and Company, 5 to 9 a.m. on WMAL.
Looking forward to that. 7:38, Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research, the co-host of the Thought to Action podcast, and the author of Operation Dark Heart. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Always great to be here.
Well, I wanted to start off with the reassuring words of our Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, in a House hearing earlier this week. I think this will make us all feel a lot better about the security at the southern border.
Secretary Mayorkas, do you continue to maintain that the border is secure?
Yes, and we are working day in and day out to enhance its security, Congressman.
Right. I think it is a position that denies reality.
Denies reality. That's one way to put it. So, Tony, help us out here, because we're hearing that the DHS folks, everybody at the border, preparing for the end of Title 42. And that was a policy that came in 2020 during the pandemic that barred migrants from entering the country. Now, that policy is out, according to the Supreme Court at this point. What does that mean at the border? I mean, we have reports that immigrants who were denied entry are now amassing on the Mexican side of the border. They're preparing for the end of Title 42.
They are. They're especially at El Paso, Texas. So Texas is going to get the brunt of this. And to your point, Rick, the 2020 Trump-era law was used to remove, not only prevent, but remove 2.3 million illegal immigrants. So this is a big deal. And Mayorkas continues to, I don't know any other way to say it, except he's lying. There's absolutely no evidence that the number and scope of you know, the wave coming across the border is still coming. And this will only make it worse, because this removes other tools that CBP had to essentially justify detaining and removing people. So it's one of those situations where it's already bad, it's going to get worse, and everybody, I think, understands that this is coming, and especially those on the other side of the border who want to come across. So at this point, I do expect that you're going to hear, we've already had record crossers. We're going to have even higher records coming very early this coming year, unfortunately. There's just nothing going to hold it back at this point.
It will be interesting to see if the Republicans taking over the House can actually do anything about it.
They're going to, one of the things they could do and they're talking about doing is impeaching Mayorkas, which, you know, they may not end the wave, but Mayorkas has clearly shown that he is either politically compromised to a policy that the Biden administration is putting forward, or just completely incompetent. But either one, in my judgment, is grounds at this point based on the failure to secure the border. That is justification to remove him from office. So.
Yeah, my only concern is that we see these hearings all the time, and it's a great way for the congressmen and senators to grandstand. They have some well-written gotchas, and then nothing really ever happens. You know, a week or two later,
it's sort of past
history. So that's my concern. So if you're a Republican staffer out there, don't do that this time.
I want to
turn to another hearing this week on Capitol Hill. The FBI director, Christopher Wray, was there, and he's been taking a lot of heat from Senators Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley, both of those senators reelected, much to the chagrin of the Biden administration, I must say. So what struck you about the hearings with Christopher Wray?
Well, three things. First, obviously, he had ducked out of the last hearing with the Senate because he had to go on vacation, which really didn't sit well with a lot of folks. He really wasn't clear about the fact he was leaving to go to the Adirondacks. He just said, look, I gotta duck out of here and go somewhere. And then he flew off in a private FBI jet.
which they could have held for a couple hours if they needed to. It wasn't
when you have your own jet, Rick. Yeah, I don't have one, but I'm pretty sure from knowing people who do, you can hold a jet if it's your jet. Just say. And the other thing, he dodged questions or refused to answer with any clarity regarding the numerous, the voluminous inquiries from Congress, from Grassley especially, regarding some of the oversight issues of FBI failures. So that's something else that was brought up, and he said, well, I answered some, and the answer is no, he's answered none. So it's just kind of like, okay. And the third and most important issue is the fact that simultaneous to this, they, you know, Merrick Garland was appointing a special counsel to go after Trump on January 6th and Mar-a-Lago documents. There's no evidence of any action regarding Hunter Biden. And more importantly, and I do believe this is why they're not looking at Hunter Biden, is because most of the evidence on the documentation I've seen on the Hunter Biden hard drive, all roads lead back to Biden. So it's very clear that Ray is playing politics. Ray should have been removed a long time ago, but just look at what he said, the way he said it. It's very clear that he is not being above board and neutral in his using the FBI in investigations. And whistleblowers now are coming forward. A number of whistleblowers have come forward and laid out what's going on internally. I have no reason to believe, no reason to doubt those whistleblowers coming forward at this point.
So I'm sure you saw the James Comer and Jim Jordan press conference, the Oversight Committee, what they had about the Hunter Biden investigation. A lot of it sounded like news we'd heard before, but there were a few gems in there, and one of them is a quote from a Republican lawmaker here. As part of our investigation, we have evidence that the finances, credit cards, and bank accounts of Hunter and Joe Biden were commingled, if not shared.
Yeah.
If that turns out to be accurate, this could be some pretty serious stuff when they get into this investigation.
Well, it is. If there's one word I know lawyers hate ever using in any circumstances, commingle. Trust me, I've dealt with a lot of lawyers on this. And anytime you commingle something, that's bad, at least in legal terms. And yeah, there's clear evidence from what I've, again, read and spoken to folks about, that they were, quote-unquote, sharing accounts, both deposits and expenditures. Just saying. So if this is true, and I tend to believe, again, that it is true based on what I'm aware of, it's very clear that Biden, Senior Biden, the big guy, was fully involved in helping shape the direction of Hunter Biden's outreach and ongoing activities. Why this is important? Because he was doing it while he was vice president, which, in my judgment, makes it clearly illegal if you're using the influence of your office to benefit yourself and your family. And that's what is really the big issue here. And I think the American people, if they hear this, they're going to have a hard time getting past it if Biden decides to run for reelection.
But, Tony, the president has assured us that he didn't know anything about any of Hunter's business dealings. Come on.
And he assured us Afghanistan wouldn't fall the moment we stepped away. So there you go.
Come on, man. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, London Center for Policy Research. Catch the Thought to Action podcast there. Tony, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
You betcha. 7:46, Saturday Morning Update. KT McFarland is next. LBD's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On the outer loop of the Beltway in Montgomery County, traffic is very slow between River Road and the American Legion Bridge. Inner loop of the Beltway in Montgomery County, I don't happen to report some any slowdowns there. Same thing in Prince George's County. Inner loop and outer loop, you're at speed. In Prince George's County, between the two beltways, on the BW Parkway N95, no delays being reported northbound or southbound. Also in Prince George's County, on Route 50, between the Beltway and the Bay Bridge, eastbound and westbound lanes are clear. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Moving through the remainder of the morning hours and into the afternoon, plenty of sunshine with temperatures only reaching the 40s, well below average for this time of year. Overnight, clear and cold, dropping down to the 20s, increasing winds upwards of 20 miles per hour. A cold and blustery day tomorrow with lots of sunshine, 35 to 40 degrees, wind chill factors in the teens and 20s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Steve Rudin, the First Alert Weather Center.
29 degrees in the nation's capital, 7:47 on the Saturday Morning Update. 7:50 on the Saturday morning update. Thanks for being with us. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by KT McFarland. She was President Trump's Deputy National Security Advisor, a board member of the American Conservative Union. She is the author of the best-selling book, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. KT, good morning.
Good morning.
We see new leadership in the House in Washington. 75% of Americans polled say the country's on the wrong track. From your perspective, what do the Republicans need to do, and how do they accomplish it?
Well, the election, put the election aside for a minute. The GOP has been given a rare opportunity. As you point out, the country, 75% of the people think we're in the wrong direction. Oh, they may not agree on what the right direction is, but they know we're in the wrong direction. So there's a real opportunity, a unique opportunity for Republicans in the House to take command of the agenda, to seize the initiative. There's great uncertainty. Not just that people don't like the way things are now, and they are much more uncertain about the future. And so the country's desperate for leaders. So normally what happens in Congress is everybody is out for themselves, right? Every congressional member is out for his 5 minutes on an interview on primetime news. They're all kind of going at each other. They're all competing for the same dollars for reelection. This is a moment to put that aside and understand that the country's desperate for leaders. That's a real appeal of DeSantis and Youngkin and Abbott of Texas as the governors, is they look like they're leading. They look like they're making decisions, not just going along with the waves. So can Congress unite and lead? I don't know. Does McCarthy have it? Is it in his skill set to bring them together, disparate factions in the House, and lead? Here's 3 points. One, it's not business as usual. Our founders gave Congress, the House of Representatives, real power, and that's the purse strings. Don't let the Biden budget pass just to keep government open. Let it shut down. Play hardball with Schumer and Biden. You know, in a couple of days' time, Mitch McConnell's going to get on the phone to McCarthy, and he's going to say, look, you know, there's no real mandate here. We've really got to just keep government open. We've got to just sort of business as usual. And will McCarthy say, no, not business as usual. Even if we go down alone, we are not going to be complicit in this radical left, big spending, high tax, anti-energy, anti-American agenda. And if McCarthy stands strong, what he ought to do is 3 things. First, figure out how the Democrats keep winning. Ballot harvesting is legal in some states, so we should figure out how to be better at it than the Democrats. But mainly use the congressional committees to adopt the Biden agenda and then to look forward to what a Republican agenda in 2024 would be like. So some committees should stop the agenda. I mean, that would be the Judiciary Committee. Have them investigate the FBI and the Department of Justice for judicial overreach and really bring to bear the power that they have by investigation, and then to withhold funds. If the Department of Justice or the FBI, they dodge the subpoenas, they don't want to come and testify, they get the runaround, fine, cut their budgets. At the same time, the other committees should start setting a positive agenda. Right now, the tendency will be for everybody to investigate everything because all the members are going to want to get their moment on prime time. But if the investigatory committees, the Department of Justice, can go and look at, if the Judiciary Committee can go look at the abuses that have happened in the past and potentially in the future, and look at an election integrity, and then the other committees should look at the agenda for the future. The thing, you know, right now, the odd thing is, although there are 20 people potentially running for the Republican nomination from Donald Trump on down, they're all pretty much agreed on the agenda. Pro-growth economics, cut taxes, cut government spending, rebuild the military, anti-woke, seal the borders, et cetera, et cetera. So let's have Congress lay out what that agenda looks like. Let the American people have 2 years to see what a Republican agenda could look like in January 2025. Start with energy. Talk about it. Show how that American energy, the Biden war on fossil fuels, has not only screwed the economy, but it's screwed up our foreign policy and it's screwed up the environment. So, again, it's going to take an enormous amount of discipline, but the opportunity is there if McCarthy can lead and get tough and not be afraid of all the bad press he's going to get and box the Biden administration in so they can't do any more harm and then at the same time set out a positive agenda that whoever the Republican nominee is can seize and carry to the American people.
So the congressional approval rating is down around 23%. How do the Republicans convince Americans that they can trust them? In other words, you know, how do you change that approval rating?
Well, actually, that's higher than it's been in a good bit of time. I think if they can act united, and that's the really hard part because a number of members are adamantly opposed to each other's agenda. There's the Freedom, you know, the Freedom Caucus, the other caucuses, the sort of blue state Republicans. They'll all be in a different place. But if it's possible to, A, reveal what elections mean today, so whatever is the appropriate committee, investigate and have hearings on what ballot harvesting is all about, how the big city Democrats control the elections. And in some states, that's legal. Fine, you're not going to change those states overnight, but have a way that the Republicans can understand at the local level how they can use that to their advantage. And I think it's very important to set out what the agenda is going forward. Otherwise, you know, what do Republicans stand for? It's not just, it can't just be, well, we don't want the Democrats, whatever the Democrats want, we want the other thing. No, set out a positive agenda. Energy independence, that'll fix the economy overnight. It'll stop inflation. It'll also bankrupt our adversaries. It will also be a strong national security power that the United States has by being the world's dominant energy power. And it, at the same time, talk about the culture, the woke agenda, which affects every single household in America, whether your parents or grandparents of kids who are going to the indoctrination factories that are posing as our schools. So the only way to have the country trust the Republicans is have the Republicans stand for something.
K.T. McFarland, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. Black Friday is coming. That makes a nice holiday gift idea. K.T., thank you so much, and you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
A happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Thank you.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Garden Sense at 1 this afternoon here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.